Well, this morning, I want to talk about the fact that Jesus, he had encounters with many people right through his time on earth in ministry. People met Jesus, they had an encounter with him, and something happened. And so, I'm just going to pick out three this morning. I could pick out any three, really, but I've chosen three that I believe is what God wants us to look at this morning. And I want to just read a few verses from Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, which is Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry. This is what he read, which was prophetic about him. And Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So, first of all, before we look at these three encounters, I want you to see something about Jesus. We need to focus clearly on him. And the scripture here says that he was anointed to heal people with broken hearts. I guess there's broken hearts here this morning, for one reason or another, to proclaim liberty to captives, people who feel restricted in their lives, maybe restricted by sickness. You can't do all that you used to do. You know, I've got to be honest, I feel a bit restricted by old age. I can't do what I used to do. When you were marching round this morning, you know, a few years ago, I'd have marched too. But I thought I had to conserve my energy to preach to you. Some people are restricted by their finances. Not many like that, is there? Others feel restricted by relationships, all kinds of things. Jesus came to set all those kind of people free. And recovery of sight to the blind. Well, the first person we'll look at in a moment was a blind person who met Jesus. And to set liberty those who were oppressed or depressed. And I'm sure there will be at least one person here this morning who feels depressed. Well, Jesus can set you free. That's the wonderful news of him. And to proclaim the year of the Lord, which is the year of Jubilee, when all the people are released and set free. So that's the kind of ministry that Jesus had when he was on the earth. And Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he was doing on earth 2,000 years ago, he's doing in London today. Amen? And so to make sure that we're all focused on the right person, because everyone in here this morning needs an encounter with Jesus. So let's make sure we're focused. Let everybody shout out at the top of their voice, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, louder than that.
Jesus.
More energy than that.
Jesus.
So who is it that heals us?
Jesus.
Who sets the prisoners free?
Jesus.
Who opens the eyes of the blind?
Jesus.
Who forgives our sin? Who's going to take us to heaven?
Jesus.
Now, I think we're fairly focused. If you want to follow me through Mark 10:46 to 52, talks the story of a man called blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, and there was no support for him, so he had to sit on the side of the road with his begging bag, begging for people going by to put a coin in his hat or in his bag so that he could have food and live. And as he heard a crowd coming down the road, the Bible says he heard it was Jesus. Now, that's what we've just been doing, getting you to focus on Jesus, because he's here this morning. Amen? And Bartimaeus started shouting, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." We need to notice one or two points from this story for everyone who needs healing this morning. First of all, he knew that he needed the mercy of God to be healed. You don't get healed because you're a fantastic Holy Ghost-filled Christian. You don't get healed because you've fasted and prayed for 40 days. You don't get healed because you put lots of money in the offering. Now, all of the things I mentioned are good, but you don't get healed because of them. If you are sick, the first thing you need is the mercy of God. Or the twin brother to God's mercy is grace. It's the grace of God that we need. And so if you're sick and you want to be healed, as you sit there this morning, I suggest you whisper to Jesus, "Lord, I need your mercy and I need your grace." And as you do that, you'll feel Jesus drawing near to you, because he responds to that kind of approach to him. And then the people tried to put Bartimaeus off. "Keep quiet. Don't bother him." You know, a lot of people will do that. "Don't bother Jesus with that little tiny headache." Well, let me tell you something. There's no human being big enough that they could bother God. Nothing's too small and nothing's too hard for God. And Bartimaeus, when he was told to keep quiet, do you know what he did? He shouted the louder, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Diligence. The Bible says, "Him that cometh to God must believe he is and is a rewarder." God rewards diligence. Those who diligently seek, if you'll be diligent, you don't give up. You know, you're here today. Make sure you're here next Sunday and the Sunday after and the Sunday after. Be diligent in your seeking God. Because I can tell you from experience, God is very faithful to diligence. The next thing we find is Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" Well, if you're blind, you would think it was obvious what he wanted. But he could have asked for a white stick or a guide dog. Or if we bring it right up today, you can get special computers that blind people can use. I've got a friend who's blind, and he's got a computer. And it is so adapted that he can send emails, receive emails, and all kinds of... He even reads... He is able to read his Bible from it. You know, but Bartimaeus was specific. There are many times in the Bible when God asks questions. What do you want? Where are you? Etc. And you have to be specific. What is it you want from God today? Whatever it is, what's the most important thing you'd like God to do for you? And then there's another great thing about Bartimaeus. Jesus was wanting to talk to him. And this moment Bartimaeus was going to Jesus, the Bible says he threw his cloak away. Now, back in Bible days, a cloak was a special cloak, a special color, so that everybody knew this man was blind. It's the same as a white stick. If you see a man with a white stick, you know he's blind. If you saw a person with this coat, you knew they were blind. But Bartimaeus took it off and threw it away as an act of faith that he was going to be healed, he was going to receive his sight, and he would never need that cloak again. It's always good to have an act of faith. When I was praying this morning, I was reminded of a man. He had a short leg, which was considerably shorter than the other one. And he came forward. He came from a Methodist church. And he came forward to be prayed for. And as I was going to pray for him, he said, "Just a minute, I brought me video camera." So I said, "What you brought your video camera for?" He says, "I want somebody to stand there with that video camera and get my leg being lengthened as God heals me on that video camera, because I want to take it back to my Methodist church and prove to them God works miracles today." And we promptly did it. And his leg grew out the same length as the other one. And it was on the video, and he took it back to his Methodist church. But the thing is, it was this, for him, it was the same as Bartimaeus throwing his cloak away. He believed he was going to be healed. So he brought the video camera to get the proof of it on the healing. It was an act of faith. And we've seen people who couldn't walk come in stretchers or in wheelchairs with their shoes because they believed they were going to be all kinds of things. But this morning, a simple thing you can do is get up out of your seat and come to the front to be healed. Amen? And all kinds of things. Maybe there are challenges to you to exercise your faith to be healed. And blind Bartimaeus was healed. And I love the word. This is one of my favorite words in the whole Bible. Immediately, he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. Immediately. Always believe that God's going to act on your behalf immediately. It's a wonderful thing. We'll move on to the second person who had an encounter with Jesus. Actually, there's 10 of them, but there's one I want to talk about. It's in Luke 17, 11 to 19. There are 10 lepers. And these 10 lepers were just like Bartimaeus. They knew what they needed. They were crying out, "Lord, have mercy upon us." Isn't it interesting that people in Bible days knew what they needed from God? Mercy. And right up here in London today, that's what we need. The mercy of God. And they cried out and called out to Jesus. And Jesus spoke to them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." They obeyed what he said, and as they went, all 10 of them were cleansed from their leprosy. But one of them came back giving praise and worshipping and loving Jesus. And Jesus said, where are the 9? Well, I got a good idea where the 9 were. They went home to see their wives and children. A very legitimate thing to do. But this one man was made whole. Now, when you're cleansed from leprosy, it leaves you with stumps on your fingers and your ears been eaten away, and your nose been eaten away, and your toes been eaten away. But when you're cleansed, all that leprosy is gone, but you've still got your stumps. But the man who came back and gave thanks to Jesus, he didn't just get cleansed, he got made whole. In other words, his fingers grew again. His toes grew again. His ears became whole. His nose was normal. And he was completely made whole because he came back and said, thank you. Now, it's very important that we are thankful people and we praise God. You know the man at the gate beautiful? He hadn't walked for 40 years. And Peter and John went along and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. What did he do? He got up and he leapt and he praised God into the temple. He was giving thanks to God for the healing. You know, I'm looking forward to the day that when we've laid hands on people and asked God to heal them, they start leaping and shouting and praising God and giving thanks to God. Not, well, all the pain hasn't gone yet. Or, it's much better, but it hurts a little. We need to be able to express our thanks to God. For whether we're healed or not, he's worth praising. I can tell you, it's amazing what praising can do. There was a man, his name was Victor Banham. He came into one of our tent meetings, and he was crippled with arthritis. When I prayed for him in Jesus' name, the pain completely left, and it was gone. And that was wonderful. But 2 or 3 nights later, he was back in the prayer line. He said, thank God for healing me. All the pain's gone, but I've still got these calluses on my fingers where I had the arthritis. And I believe that God can make them whole. And so we prayed, and the calluses totally disappeared. Right before our eyes, they were gone because he came back giving thanks. There was a little girl, she was only about 6 or 7, and she had a very bad cross eye. Her eyes were terribly crossed in a little town called Haverhill in West Suffolk. And she came out for prayer, and we prayed for her, and the eyes went perfectly straight, and the meeting was packed with people. They got excited because they saw the miracle, and there was a big anthem of praise went up to God. And that was wonderful. The next night, this little girl was back in the queue. And her elder sister was with her. Her parents never came to the meetings. And I said, what have you come for tonight? Because her eyes were perfectly straight. She said, I've just come to thank Jesus for healing me. 6 or 7 years old. I've just come to thank Jesus for healing me. Oh, how wonderful it is. And I've had letters from that town, from people. She's now, well on in years, an adult. But people write and say her eyes are still straight. Do you wonder at it? She came to thank Jesus for healing her. The third person I want to talk about is a very interesting character indeed. His name is Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was one of the top tax collectors. Now, people who collect your income tax and your council tax are not usually your favorites. And this is the kind of person that Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector, and the Bible says he was very rich. And as you read the story, it's pretty obvious that Zacchaeus had taken more tax than he should have done from the people. And he was a little guy. He certainly had to look up to me. And Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. That's a good beginning for a tax collector. And to do that, because of the crowd, and even on tiptoes he couldn't see, because there were people as big as me, there were fishermen, strong, burly men around Jesus. He got up into a sycamore tree so he could see who Jesus was. You know, there's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Zacchaeus had that kind of desire to seek, to search out who Jesus was. And when Jesus got near the sycamore tree, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your house. I want to tell you, Jesus knows your name and address. He knows all there is about you. There's nothing hidden from him whatsoever. Just like he knew that Zacchaeus had taken more from the people in taxes than he should, and still wanted to meet with Zacchaeus. Jesus knows everything that you've ever done wrong, everything you've stolen, every lie you've told, every time you've taken his name in vain. He knows it all. But he still says, I want to come home with you today. I want to come to your house. Amen. I hope when you get home, there aren't things you want to put away out of sight quick because you take him home with you. But if there are, do it. He won't mind. He wants to come home with you today. And as Zacchaeus came down from that tree, the Bible says he received him gladly, joyfully. There was no misery. It wasn't, oh, we don't want this religious stuff. Zacchaeus was thrilled to have Jesus go home with him. And that's exactly what you can have today. You can take Jesus right home with you, and you can do it joyfully and gladly. And it will be great. And when they got home, the Bible says that people complained that Jesus had gone to be a guest of a sinner. You know, all we Pharisees, and he doesn't come to our house, but he goes to this rotten tax collector who's a sinner. I want you to know today, Jesus has got a very special love for sinners. If you're not a sinner, you can't go to heaven. Because heaven is for sinners who have been forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. That's what heaven's for. Jesus wants to come home with sinners and deal with their sin. Now, you know, New Life Church is not just for people to come and go through a weekly routine, but New Life Church is a place for people to have an encounter with Jesus Christ that deals with the root problem in human beings' life, and that root problem is called sin. And that's what Jesus went home with Zacchaeus for, so he could deal with the root problem called sin. If you want to know what sin is, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Now, to find out what unrighteousness is, you have to find out what righteousness is. Righteousness is the Jesus lifestyle, to live the way Jesus lived. All unrighteousness is everything that is unlike Jesus. Because Jesus was the only person who has ever lived on the face of this earth perfect, without sin. And the life of Jesus was very important because he was living the righteous life. And I hope there is at least a small desire in every person's heart that they really would like to be like Jesus. Because to be righteous is to want to be like Jesus. You've gone awfully quiet. Don't say, that's way beyond me, I could never do it. Because in one sense it's true, none of us can do it. But I've got news for you. Jesus not only wants to come home with you to your house, he wants to come into your life to display his righteousness out through you. So he deals with the sin, but he makes you righteous. He makes you pure. He makes you holy. He enables you to live the way he wants you to live. There's a evangelist in this country who's come to great prominence, been on the media and in the press, and his name is J. John. You may not have heard him. He's a bit like Zacchaeus. He's only a little fella. But he's been conducting crusades across the country, often in cathedrals, and he's been going through the Ten Commandments. He takes one day a week and teaches on one of the commandments and brings the gospel application to that commandment. But one of the things he's been doing is linked with this story. Zacchaeus, the moment he had his encounter with Jesus, he repented of his sin, but also wanted to make restitution for the wrong he had done. And he said, I'll give half of all I've got to the poor. And if I've taken any money, any tax from people that I shouldn't have done, I'm going to give them four times as much back. In these meetings that J. John has been conducting, one of the commandments is thou shalt not steal. And so he has big bins at the front of the cathedral. And people come and bring all the things they've stolen and put in the bins. And on one occasion, a man put a check that he'd got by false pretenses in for over £100,000 because he wanted to get right with God. He was real about his getting right with God. And I want to tell you, this gospel that we preach, that Jesus preached, when it touched people's lives, they put wrong things right that they were able to do. They didn't carry on living the way they'd always lived. You know, if you're taking drugs, well, we don't condemn you for taking drugs, but if you come to Jesus, he's got the power to break the power of those drugs in your life, and so you stop taking them. That's a changed life. That's the gospel we preach. Wrong things can be put right. And I want to close, because my time has run away fast. Two verses. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Did you know that one human being down on this earth can affect the whole of heaven and get it all singing and rejoicing by simply repenting? You can affect heaven this morning. You can get the angels rejoicing because you repent and you want to get right with God. The other verse is 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You either have the Lord Jesus Christ living his life out through you, or you don't. There's no in between. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his holy blood upon that cross. He took the punishment that you and I deserve for the sin that you and I have committed, that we might come in faith and repentance to that cross and ask him to come into our lives, forgive us, clean us up, change us, and give us a new lifestyle. Or you don't have the Son of God and you decide you're going home this morning without him. That's up to you. I just feel there's one little thing that I want to add before I pray with people. God has no grandchildren. No one is a Christian because their parents were Christian. No one is a Christian because their best mate is a Christian. No one is right with God because they associate with people who are right with God. We all need a personal encounter with Jesus Christ for ourselves. And the choice is up to you. It is in your hands. God's put it there. You can go through an alpha course, and at the end you can say, I've done the alpha course. But that's not the question. The question is, have you had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the way through? If not, you should make it today. There's not such a thing as a secret Christian. Everyone Jesus called in Bible days, he called them publicly or personally. And he still does the same today. Let us all pray. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I'm speaking to everybody in the building, the young people as well as the older ones. If God has spoken to you this morning and you want to get right with God, you want to repent of your sin, you want a changed life, you want Jesus to forgive you and come in your life, then I want to pray with you. And I want you to take the first step right now. There'll be another one in a moment. I don't want to con anyone. But I want you to take the first step now. I want to know you want me to pray with you. You want to get right with God. You want to be forgiven of your sin. You want to make sure that you make it to heaven. Then slip your right hand up and put it down again right where you are. And I'll see your hand and God will bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? God bless you. Put it down once you've raised it. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Let me see. There are some who've made decisions like this in the past, but you know that your life has drifted back to the way of sin and not the way of righteousness. And you need to make a fresh commitment. I'm not going to prolong this appeal anymore, but I just feel there's one or two like that that need to raise their hands. God bless you, dear. God bless you. Okay, thank you. Let's all stand on our feet. I want everyone to take the second step. I want you to leave your seat and come and stand at the front and face me so we can pray together just as I promised. Leave your seats now and come. Everyone who raised your hands. Single file if you can, please, right along the front. Everyone who raised their hands. If you didn't raise your hand and you know you should be here, please come. That's amazing. Okay. I want you to do something. I want you to put your hand on your heart. That's a sign that you really mean this prayer you're going to pray. I want you to realize you're going to be talking to Almighty God. You're not talking to Don Double. You're talking to Almighty God. Now I want you to repeat this prayer and let it have every ounce of faith that there is in your heart as you pray it. Pray it out loud, line after line after me. Oh God, I come to you today and I confess I have sinned. I did it, it's my fault. But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior. That He died on the cross at Calvary for my sin. I now repent and turn from all my sin. I renounce all idolatry. I renounce any immorality. I renounce all contact with the occult. I invite you, Lord Jesus Christ, to come into my life now. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me in your holy blood. Make me pure and clean and righteous. Break the power of sin in my life. And set me free. And live your life out through me. I thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. That you are alive. And you now live in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stay there prayerfully for a moment. I want all the cell group leaders to come forward, please, quickly. Those of you on my left, if you could just begin to lead the people. We want you to go over there. If you're sick, I promise you, I'm not leaving this building this morning until I've ministered to you to be healed. I want nobody to miss going over here and just having a further prayer with these leaders. So if you could turn to your right, please, you can take your hands off your heart now, unless you want to keep them there. That's right. Move along.